Before we begin, family, a quick heads up. This story is a horror game, and as such, it is full of things that might disturb your dreams, follow in your footsteps, and haunt your waking hours. Please check the episode description for a full list of content warnings before proceeding. Take care of yourselves, and thanks for listening. For this mini-series, we're playing a game called Liminal Horror, which is a rules-light survival horror game about normal, everyday folks caught up in terrifying situations. And I just want to explain quickly a little bit about how this game works. So you know exactly what happens when you hear a dice clatter on the table. Our players have three main stats: strength, which is their physicality and toughness, dexterity, which is speed and precision, and control, which is their willpower and dealing with the weird and supernatural in this world. When they are trying to attempt something risky, I'm going to ask them to roll a 20-sided die, and to succeed, they have to roll equal to or under their stat number. The lower the roll, the better. Of course, there are other mechanics, but that is the most important to know going in. There is a particular kind of magic hidden deep within the hollers of these mountains, the kind that only children can truly hear. Down past the tangle of rhododendron and ancient pines, far from the watchful eyes of weary parents and the soot of the coal camps, you found it. Or rather, Adelaide found it, and she chose to invite you in. This patch of earth belonged to the green, but for those few fleeting months, it belonged to you. You built your kingdom here. It was a fortress of fallen branches and scavenged timber, a sanctuary hidden from the awful truth of the world outside. And right in its heart sat a weathered stone, carved by time and rain in the shape of a sitting rabbit. It was your anchor. And in the sweltering heat of July, beneath a canopy that filtered the sun into shards of light, you were invincible. You were bloodkin, tied not by birth, but by the mud on your boots, the carved letters in the tree bark, and the secrets you kept. You swore nothing would tear you apart. And as we are in this moment, we are going to step back into those smaller shoes. What are you guys doing here in the fort at this time?
I think you would see W.E. William with a little short stick that he's swinging around wildly like a sword. He's swiping at tall grasses and flower heads, dandelion heads, just popping the tops off of them and having a grand old time by himself as he's kind of dancing around this rock, just swinging his stick sword.
Ezekiel Green, or Zeke, as his friends would call him, he would be collecting some very smooth rocks or very strangely shaped rocks and making a little bit of a collection for the group to throw into the pond. And also he's looking for some bait for some fishing, some grubs. He swears if you can find the right little nightcrawler, that you'll get the best fish of the summer.
I'm gonna poke you in the back with my stick.
En guard!
Ah! Oh, no backstabbing, W! Zeke goes and grabs a much smaller stick and does a very poor imitation of a musketeer's pose. All right. Bring it on.
I am a musketeer. You are the second musketeer. We need a third.
What, is three the magic number?
It's always three musketeers.
Oh, right, right, right. Like the book in school.
Like the book in school. A I'll bop you in the head with the end of my stick.
Ow!
And you see Adelaide comes running through the forest. You hear her feet before you can see her. And she's running in. She looks a little sweaty, a little dirty. And she's like wiping off some of the dirt off her forehead. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I late?
You're right on time.
Okay. What are you guys doing?
We're the Three Musketeers. Oh, there are two.
Well, there's always three, though.
That's what I was telling Zeke.
Well, W, she needs a sword, then. You gotta find the right one.
Well, I can't be a musketeer, because the book says it's all boys.
Yeah, I don't know, Zeke. She's a girl.
I'm gonna follow the rules of no book.
Well, I also don't have a sword.
You see what I'm holding? Just a little nub of a stick.
Okay.
Any old stick will do.
Okay, I gotta find one bigger than W's. And she goes to search for one. And she comes back and she finds one that's bigger, but it's so heavy, so she's dragging it behind her. I got it. I found one. Okay.
What you doing there, Adelaide?
One, two, on three.
You can't even lift that thing.
I'm getting stronger. I've been helping Mama move the potato sacks. And she's struggling hard. It's not even getting raised off the ground.
Zeke is trying hard not to laugh.
Now, Zeke, why don't you give her your sword now?
Oh.
That's more her size.
All right. And Zeke will wander over to Adelaide and be like, I named this sword Lucky. I've only had it for a little bit, but here, you have it.
Okay. Are you sure?
Sure, no problem. And Zeke will almost very easily pick up the larger stick and like slunk it over his shoulder.
She looked, whoa. Okay. I'm ready. She'll look of determination in her eyes as she looks at you, W.
On guard. Flourish my sword in front of you.
Yeah, this is a fight to the death.
To the death.
To the... Whoop! And Zeke will lose his balance trying to swing the big stick and fall ass over tea kettle backwards. But he gets back up and like he does that thing that children do where they roll and they bounce back from falling down. He has that moment where he acts like he didn't just like scrape up his back and his arm. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I meant to do that. That's a secret technique, yeah. And he goes to pick up the big stick and it has broken in two. So he's just holding two slightly large sticks. He's just like, ha ha!
Okay. Adelaide goes, like, whispers to you, W. Is there a technique about falling on your back?
I'm not sure what Zeke is doing. I think he wants to wrestle, though. That's what I think. I'll throw down my stick and I'll just lunge at Zeke.
Be careful, you hear off to the side.
We are anything but. I was going to say, this feels like it pivots from Three Musketeers to professional wrestling, I think.
Okay. Eventually, you guys are done wrestling and all that good stuff. And Adelaide makes her way back to like the central area of the fort. And she calls you both over. Hey, you guys. I bought something while I was in town. Come.
All right, you win this time, W.
I always win.
I only tapped out because you were twisting my toe.
I know your weak point, Zeke. The toe gets you every time.
Gosh darn spinning toe hold. And Zeke will get up and lumber over to Adelaide.
You see, she's holding the little baggie, like the shape of like the size of like a sandwich bag. And it's full of these little paper bang snaps. And she says, oh, I got these. I've been doing a lot of chores. And I saved up 10 cents and I bought this. It took me a while, but I finally got it. I just seen like the other kids playing with it. And it looks so much fun. Like so much fun. You guys want to try?
Do I?
Okay.
Money well spent. Wow. Thank you.
Wow. You how long did it take you to save all that up, Adelaide?
I've been saving all summer, actually.
Well, shoot.
Oh, God. And
you want to share it with us?
Of course. You guys are my best friends. Okay, come on. Dig in.
All right. I'm going to scramble and get my hand in that jar before Zeke can. I'm going to grab a handful of them.
And, yeah, so they are those little paper bang snaps. So you throw them on the ground. You hear a little pop. And you keep going. And it's just like that satisfying noise for some reason. Just like a little crack. You guys continue to do it. I'm guessing Zeke joins in.
Oh, yeah. Zeke eventually joins in.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
That summer felt endless until this day. You were all gathered around that rabbit stone, throwing the little paper bang snaps against rocks, laughing as the sharp pop and the tiny little flashes of light. Adelaide goes to throw one, and time seems to stop. When that next one hits the dirt, the air doesn't just pop, it seems like it snaps. And it's not a firecracker or a collapse. It's like a detonation goes off of pure black night. And there is a deafening sound. It sounds like a flashbang. And you guys are thrown back as your bodies hit the floor. And I need you both to make a control save for me.
I'm only 13 years old. I'm actually not even 13.
Still got to make the save.
That's a 3 under a 13 for me.
That is a 14 over a 12 for me.
You will take a stunned condition, so you are temporarily unable to move or react. There is that the deafening sound in your ears. Everybody's ears are ringing. W.E., you're able to withstand, so your mind is still intact, but there is the stench of sulfur and like scorched earth is like slammed into your lungs. You could smell it immediately. And there is this shockwave of jagged shadow. It swept over the clearing like the world just darkens for a second. And it's suffocating and it feels cold, like you just entered a temporary void. And when the light finally comes back, the air is thick with smoke. And that stone rabbit that was at the center, completely gone. It's reduced to like a crater of smoke and dust. And you also see something else. Adelaide is on the ground, still and silent. Both of you has seen death before, in the smallest things and the larger things. And so you know death when you see it, resting inside of your friend.
First thing W will do as soon as the senses come back to him, the ringing still in his ears, the thick dust or whatever that was I was feeling in there, just in his lungs go. Adelaide, I'll go crawling over to her still body as quickly as I can and start to shake her. Adelaide.
I think Zeke is very, because of being stunned, I think what happened was during the whiplash of the the blowback, he hit like his head against like a hard part of a stump or something. And like that, you know, that impact you get when you hit your head and like the world blacks out for a moment. That's what happens as his ears are ringing and he's literally dazed, and it takes him so long to get up. He doesn't even see where everyone is yet. And he's like,
"Well, Debbie, Adelaide, what's going on? Oh, I think I'm bleeding."
And he is like very much has a very bad like gash at the top of his head and is bleeding down the side.
From your point of view, you just hear, it starts off, it sounds kind of muffled. You hear him saying Adelaide's name, but that's all you can hear for right now. Adelaide is completely lifeless. Eyes closed and you're shaking and nothing's happening.
Do I see any wounds on her? Is she bleeding from anywhere?
You do not see any visible wounds.
Zeke, get over here. Adelaide's...
What's going on?
Help! Zeke, get your ass over here!
Oh, shoot! All right!
And, yeah, immediately, like, snaps out of it when he hears, like, W, like, really shout at him and can see that Adelaide is on the ground motionless and...
You try him... What? You tried doing the air in her? She's not breathing. We got to make sure she's breathing.
Help her, Zeke. What?
I mean, my mama's a school nurse, but okay.
Zeke is going to try to like replicate like CPR, trying to get air in her lungs. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
I'm sorry.
And he presses into her chest, trying to get the air in.
And her chest moves with the pressing, but there's nothing coming of it. As you see her head, lulls to the side.
What are you doing, Zeke? It's not working.
It's not working. All right. We gotta get water. Have you got water back at the fort? I don't...
Zeke's gonna, look around to see, did something hit her? Did something, attack her? Just looking around to see if there's anything different other than, the shattered stone. Just to literally think of, grasping at anything that could help.
There's nothing around. Right now, it looks like the regular forest and area that you guys have always played in.
Zeke, I'm going to run back to town. I'm going to get some help. Stay with Adelaide.
Help me get her to the fort, at least. We'll wrap her up in the blanket. We could try to see if she'll take any water and keep her upright.
And, he'll, pick up her underneath her arms, and expect you to pick her up by her legs, and we'll try to haphazardly bring her back to the fort.
Yeah, I'll do what I can to grab her ankles and I'll bring her back to the fort, or what's left of it.
Now, what you guys both immediately notice as you're picking her up, and if you're touching any open parts of her skin, she is very cold. And eventually you guys make it back to the fort.
Yeah, put her on whatever cot we may have made in there. Grab one of the throw blankets, wrap her around, put her head on top of a pillow.
All right, I'll try the breathing thing again, but I don't know, Zeke. This is bad.
This is real.
She's not breathing.
No, she's... Why is she so cold? See, why is she...
I mean, it's not even that cold, Al, but, okay, I'm gonna try again. You're gonna have to blow air into her mouth, and I'll do the chest part, because my arms are... This is not the time to be shy!
All right. Do I just blow?
You open her mouth and you blow air in, and then when you do that, I'm gonna press the air to see if we can get her lungs like to work again. All right?
Hurry.
And Zeke will run this with WE doing the two man of CPR, try to see if maybe that's what'll help, his arms pushing in and trying to get her to reciprocate and breathe while WE offers the air to go into her lungs to see if that does anything.
After a minute or two, the feeling of this is useless comes as just there's nothing. Like a minute in this time feels like forever. Every second that passes and you're pushing and there's air getting blown into her and nothing. What is Zeke feeling at this moment?
Zeke's mama is a school nurse, and he's never really seen her fail at anything. And these remedies always work. So when this isn't working, I think Zeke starts to panic. W, what are we gonna do? She needs a real doctor. I don't know.
When W realizes that this is pointless and that Adelaide is not responding and is dead, and he'll look at Zeke, terror in Zeke's eyes that just feeds his own fear, and I just scramble back on my hands and just pushing myself back away from you. Just, no, she ain't dead. She's just fooling with us.
She's not breathing.
She ain't dead. She
My mama says when you can't breathe and your body gets all cold, that's bad, W. I don't want to believe it, but...
Wake up, Adelaide. Wake up. Please. Wake up.
Zeke's going to step outside and walk in a circle, just sort of panicking, trying to keep his breathing under control, and not just it's a lot of panic of, oh my God, is my friend dead? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Are we in trouble? What are we going to say to our parents, to her parents? And all these rushing thoughts coming into this 12-year-old turning 13 in 2 months year old. Fully freaking out, just looking out into the woods for anything that could offer guidance or help. Just
a few moments pass and time just feels like it's stretching and it's going so slowly. And then suddenly, not too far from you, Zeke, you see a cottontail rabbit appears. And it hops closer to you. And as it gets closer, you notice this is no ordinary rabbit. This seems to be Rabbit. You guys have both heard of this creature. It's a famous bedtime story and for campfire horrors. There is this living rabbit. It's small, big-footed, big-eared, but up and around their heart and its skin looks like tattoos or markings of thousands of other rabbits on its skin. And it gets closer to you.
Zeke yelps and scrambles back to the fort and and it's he can't find the words, and he's just pointing out the door and kind of shutting the little door to their fort. I imagine it's a ramshackle door that they kind of just he shuts and just kind of puts his body against the back of it.
There's a thing outside. It's bad.
What is outside? What's going on? What's going on, Zeke? What's
kind of leans. It's the rabbit, rabbit.
When you say that, W.E. instinctively makes a sign of the cross.
And I think Zeke will, like, slowly peek out, like obviously this isn't a perfect wall and a perfect door, but, like, kind of poke out a little bit just to see if it's getting closer, if it's moved, anything.
As soon as your head is out, it's right there. It is a large, again, now it looks even larger, a cottontail too. It's, like, almost too large to be believed. You notice now even one ear is torn, it's drooping, and it has blood that has come down its muzzle as it waits outside the door. And that brings our time in the woods to a close. A massive thank you to our players, Andrew Park as W.E. and Michael Gilbert as Ezekiel Green. My name is Maia, and I have been your game master and narrator. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves, family, and remember, it's always best to leave them ghosts alone.